Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy. Hey, folks, welcome to another edition of Ages of Rock podcast. This is episode number 355, and I have Damien and Al, I'm not here by myself. Bill, just shut up.
I got you, man.
But anyway, we have Damien and Al from the band Monte Carlo out of Philadelphia. How you fellas doing?
Hey, what's
doing
up, guys?
Great.
They're the real Philly cheesesteaks right there. Two of them.
Yeah.
I'm Pat and he's Gino.
Yeah, I'm the overstuffed one. I'm the extra large one you get.
Right. We may or may have not.
Extra meat.
Double meat. Yeah.
We may or may not have discussed cheesesteaks before we started recording.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, you guys, the band name is Monte Carlo. You are out of Philadelphia. You have a single out right now called Poison in Your Head, and that comes from an EP called Synthetic World. So let's start out talking about that EP.
Damo, you want to go first?
Yeah, that'll be out. It'll be out in a few weeks, August 11th. We released one single already, which is the one you mentioned, Poison in Your Head. We put that out early June, and we just released a video for that about 2 weeks ago. And we're going to release a second single this Friday, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How'd the single do? How'd it do for you?
Pretty good. I mean, we just look at the streaming numbers every week, and I think it's around 10,000.
No, we're over that. So we're like 11 something now. And that's just Spotify. It's not counting anything else. I'm on the bitch. I'm on it.
numbers matter, damn it. When you get
it does. Yeah.
And that's just Spotify. It's not including. For some reason, that's the only one we look at, but that's not including the iTunes and all that stuff. But for a band, I wouldn't say it. We've all been playing for a long time, so I wouldn't say at our level. But for I guess we're still considered a newer band, even though we're not. It's pretty damn good numbers, which is surprising. That's how we started this thing. We started this thing as kind of like a pandemic project. It was a solo project for Dame. I came on board the right with him a little bit. We put out a song. It did extremely well. The first one we did. And we're like, let's do another one. That one did well. And we're like, fuck it. Let's keep it together. He's like, what about the name? I'm like, the name's already established. I don't care. And that's how we rolled on. And then we actually got players after that. Because the first EP and the first record was
first year and a half.
The EP, then the record we put out after that was a hodgepodge of everybody. We had all guys playing. We had Jaron from George Lynch and the Heaven's Edge play bass on a track. We had some of the guys that are in the band now play on tracks. We had all kinds of people were playing with us, but it was great. It was cool. And then we were like, all right, we got to get a band together. And then we finally established, you know, the guys in the band, and you know, and then we just started to roll with it.
Right.
Cool. Well, we got advanced. We got the record. We advanced. Got it advanced. But we can't talk. I haven't done this for a couple of weeks. I kept.
he's still recovering from the Foreigner concert. But that's a different story.
Yeah, had a little. Might have had a didn't realize yeah, that I didn't realize I even talked to him after the show. I had no idea.
Okay, I've been there.
Found that out tonight. That was surprising. Anyway, we got advanced the record, so the EP. So that's pretty cool. It was good. It's good stuff, man.
Thank you.
Good job, fellas.
Yeah, that whole EP is great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
What made you decide to do an intro? Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
What made you decide to do a, I guess, an instrumental intro into the record?
That's been our thing lately. That's been our thing, kind of. Just to set it up, it gives us an excuse to have a different intro when we play live. or to tie the record together. We like to kind of tie the records together. Any record we have, we kind of like to tie it somewhere together where it sounds like, almost sounds like a theme. Even there
yeah, somewhere. We kind of, you know, like, you know, a lot of the older records always had, you know, some of the old records that we like always started out like, with an intro, and it kind of, you know, it kind of gives you like the whole experience of listening to a complete package, you know. And we're old school, we kind of like the intros, and then we use the intro for the live show. So yeah, but like Bert said, is, you know, it gives it like a theme, I guess, you know.
Yeah,
so and kind of instead of a concept album, you're doing a concept discography.
Sure. Yeah, I'm in for that.
Yeah.
A lot of the songs are written about the same topics, I think. So they're everyday topics, you know, pretty much.
So speaking of writing, describe your sound. That's a pretty generic question, but that makes it.
Yeah.
The world is your oyster here.
You want to go first, Damo?
Yeah. I think when we started out, it was, you know, the songs were kind of like dark, you know, because everything I've been associated with in the past, my previous bands were always like kind of like blues based, hard rock band, groove oriented, you know, riff rock type stuff. But, you know, like Bert was saying earlier, you know, I kind of started out with basically just me because there was nowhere to play at the time, you know, in like the middle of 2020, you know, I was doing anything. So I decided to kind of like dust off some songs I had written, you know, years ago. They were kind of like, you know, it was a solo thing. So it should be different than what you normally do. So it was more like a little darker hard rock kind of stuff, you know, just straight up metal. And, you know, Bert had, you know, was helping me with these songs. And, you know, like you said, one, it became one and then another, you know. But we've kind of like sort of strayed away from that on this one. I think song has a little darker vibe, but it's definitely like hard rock. So, I mean, we've heard people compare it to like Ghost, The Cult, Alice in Chains, Velvet Revolver, Stone Temple Pilots. So if you want to get all those thrown in a blender, that's the best way to
It's a mix. I think we're kind of, I think we have a heavy probably influence of what we grew up on, you know, or, you know, the, there's a splash of 80s in there. There's a splash of grunge in there. There's a splash of what's going on down there. And so I think all our influences are kind of mixed in. And it's weird because there's no, we don't have like, this is our sound. Like we kind of, man, if we wrote a country song and it was damn good, we don't care. If it's good, it's good. A good song's a good song. So
yeah, we
I
do
don't
have a lot of different styles. Like we have so many, you know, even new songs have been written. And they're pretty much, I hate to say all over the place. They're definitely all within like the hard rock realm, but I mean, it's not going to be like an AC/DC record or a Slayer record.
It's not. I don't think it's boring. Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
Not saying that they're boring, but they're two bands that can get away with AC/DC and Slayer. That's what you expect. That's what you get, and you're fine with it. But I don't want to hear. You know, it's like me and Dane were talking. There's so many good bands out there with great singers. I was talking about like Ian Gillan, which is, you know, great, or Ray Gillan too, and all them guys, David Coverdale, all these guys that have these awesome voices. I mean, they could sing anything. Nothing's a problem. The only problem I have with stuff that's that good, even the Black Country Communion, all that stuff, it's all really good stuff. And the singer, man, could sing anything and everything sounds great, but it's hard to pick out that one track that stands out because it's all kind of good, but nothing goes, wow, here comes the pop hook. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all just good. If I don't know if that makes any sense, but
yeah,
you know, kind of like it's better when you listen to it as a whole. I'm kind of listening to it, you know, like old school, like we would. The record's good from top to bottom. I think with us, we kind of float out in styles a little bit. I know vocally, we definitely do. But it's just fucking around and having a good time, you know, pretty much.
And the main thing is to have like a hooky chorus, no matter what, it, you know, it could be an evil and dark song. It could be a happy or upbeat song that we do. They're all going to have like really catchy choruses. That's like the main thing. And that's from bands that we all grew up listening to.
Yeah.
You know, I see you're a big
Kiss
fan in the
background. Yeah, we all are.
So it's like all our, you know, we're huge Kiss fans too. So
yeah,
they all have hooky choruses, and you know, all the bands that we loved, you know, all had that in common. So, you know, who's to say why can't, you know,
there's a lot of good bands out there, even the local bands. There's a lot of good bands. I don't think everybody has great choruses though. It's like memorable choruses, I should say. There's a lot of good stuff out there, but not everything's memorable, you know.
Talk about, I'm curious about what's the Philly music scene like? I mean, I've been there a couple of times, never even really thought about trying to catch a show or trying to catch some local stuff, but what's the music scene like there? Is it pretty vibrant? There's a lot of stuff going on.
I really think it's probably like anywhere else. I mean, I hate to say it's bleak, but it's, you know,
the talent's there. Really, there's a lot of talent floating.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good bands.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good bands. You know, a lot of talented musicians. But as far as like venues, it's really tough to play. And then, you know, they do want you to sell tickets or pay to play. And it's pretty much just, I talk to bands from all over the country, and it just sounds like the same, no matter where you go. You know, and I've played in you know, previous bands played, you know, in Nashville, Detroit, Cleveland, New York, Boston, and it's pretty much all seems the same. The thing is you want to kind of create like a network, you know, befriend bands in other towns and trade right. shows. Say, hey, why don't you come to Philly and we'll do like a little
play for each other's
run crowd together kind of. And yeah. You know, so you want to kind of create something within other musicians from other areas and just kind of like build on that. But, you know, it's, I mean, it's not awful, I guess. I don't know. Maybe we're jaded or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we've been doing it for so long, probably.
It's not like I wouldn't call it a thriving scene. There's a lot of tribute bands, a shitload of tribute bands.
You know, I think, you know, that is... You know, the not thriving thing is kind of universal right now because a lot of venue owners don't really want to pay a band what they should pay a band.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah, we know you have all these originals, but we want to hear 80s rock.
Yeah.
You know, there are bands in this area that have been playing the same 40 songs for as long as Kiss has been playing the same 19 songs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. So, I think, The problem is, and I understand it from a business point of view, is the club owners don't really care who's playing. It's just like, can you pack the place? And, you know, how many people could you bring? Listen, you could bring 20 people a night. You could bring 100 people. You never know. You really honestly never know. You know, everybody kind of gets on the wagon once there's a big buzz. Mm-hmm. But that takes a while. And it's one of those things where, you know, as a band, it's like we always say, and when they go, well, how many people could you bring? And we go, well, how many people did your club bring by himself? You know, like what's the threat? You know, I hate to be that way, but
I have had that conversation with venue owners around here.
You know,
we're supposed to be a team.
Right. You want to be the hot spot too. I mean, we want to play a thriving place. We don't have to bring our people. Then why are we giving you everything we got? Like, what do we get? We're getting the bar. Are we getting a piece of that, you know? So it's you want to do a business. Let's do business, you know?
Absolutely.
But I think musicians, because we all are, and you said you play also, so we're all jaded in the fact that when you start out, it's definitely not about money, but when you all start out, you know, you're willing to, you just want to play, you don't care, you just want to get up there and play. Well, once you hit a certain age and a certain level, you would like a little back, and it's not always money, it could be crowd, you know, shit, we'll throw away, you know, making $1,000 if we could play in front of 1,000 people, like, the money don't mean shit sometimes, you know. But it just to play a gig, it's either got to be you're playing for a crowd that's going to enjoy your stuff or that you could get to enjoy your stuff, making money, or it's got to be something, if it's a benefit or something like that, there's got to be something worthwhile. You know, the just the play to play thing, we're all past that. I'm sure you are too, you know, at this point, you know.
Yeah, we don't. You're not going to see us play every weekend or a couple times a month. So we try to space it out in, you know, within our area, you know, maybe once every couple months, you know.
Well, some of us are of a certain age that the people that do come to our show are of a certain age.
They're not going
to
come out.
And they're not coming out every weekend.
Yeah. So listen, we're at that point. You know,
people have kids, grandkids or whatever they got. You know, it's just they work 6-7 days a week. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not easy, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. So we try to make an event when we play somewhere. And, you know, we like working with certain venues and promoters that, you know, that we have a good working relationship with. And, you know, there's some guys that want you to sell tickets. It's like, okay, well, we're not playing with a national act. It's just basically three or four local bands. What do we have to sell tickets for? You know, I think if a promoter is going to get a good package together with three or four local bands that could draw, that work with each other well, that are friends with each other, I think strength in numbers, you'll bring the people out. You know, mm-hmm. people are going to show up at the door and pay then anyway. It's like, even for big shows, concerts, when I go, you know, I don't buy tickets 2-3 months in advance. I'll show up at the venue and get
it. Happens a lot, yeah. And then the flip side of that is, you know, it's like the promoter is the promoter, right? If I'm the promoter, I'm the one that's rolling the dice, right? So if you own a wrestling promotion and you put in and you're booking all this talent and it's costing you X amount of dollars for the talent, the licensing, the ring, all that stuff. Well, the talent's not footing that bill. The promoter is and you're not making the money the promoter is, but you're getting your rate. And the promoter, you know, it's a gamble, right? Nothing's definite, mm-hmm. you know? So I think a lot of the music venues and promoters don't take that approach. They take the approach in, we're going to book this band and, you know, hope that we're going to sell a lot of beer. It's all about asses and beer, right? Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what it's about. And like I said, we don't really look at it that way, but that's the way it gets approached, of course. So I don't think a promoter cares who really plays the place as long as they're bringing in people, because it's all about money at the end of the day for them, you know. Right. And it's a turn, you know, the selling ticket thing's a total turn off to us. You know, you're hitting the same people. I want people to come because they want to come. I don't want to have to beg anybody to come.
Absolutely.
And if you play enough shows that people get to know you, they'll follow.
Yeah.
They'll come.
Yeah.
I mean, Columbus is a pretty, very small area. There's not a lot of bands around here. But there are a few people that we do pretty much follow. And if I see they're playing somewhere, I'm going to go. They play once a month, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe twice a month, something like that. But it's not one of those things that you know, I wouldn't go every day. But, yeah, you know, I definitely try to hit them when I can, for sure.
Yeah. And I get the thing where why they have cover bands and why they have that. And I understand why they get paid and all, because people like stuff that's familiar. You could be the greatest unsigned local band in the world. After three songs, it's hard to digest all that. And then when there's three bands, four bands, it's just hard. It's common, right? I can see somebody be like, oh my God, they're great. If I don't know their stuff by the third song, it's like, okay, it's either it sounds the same now, or it's like, you just don't remember everything. So you got to, you know, like if I buy a record, I'm putting the record on. And now, because I've been buying a lot of vinyl lately, it forces you to listen to the whole thing. So you don't feel like getting up. So you get familiar, you know, when you got one of your, I don't know, we'll say any record, like of some of these guys, like say a Kiss record, you listen to the first time, you go, oh, it's all right. The songs that you weren't crazy about, the more you listen to, that's how we all used to get into stuff back in the day. The more you heard it, you kind of became a piece. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Which is the fun thing, I think, about listening to music. You know, if you turn a song on, you know, 15, 20 seconds, some people just turn it off. You know, when you went out and bought like the record or a cassette or whatever hell it was, you know, you listen to the whole thing. I was like, shit, man. You know, I spent like 15 bucks. I'm invested in this. I got, you know, I want to try to find something that I like. And eventually, you know, the stuff grows on you. There's a lot of records I bought when I was younger that, you know, right off the bat, I didn't like. But since I felt like I was invested in it,
you gave it a shot. Yeah.
Gave it a shot and it wound up, you know, being something that I really liked, you know.
That's probably the best thing about vinyl, is that because you got to get up and change, as much of a pain in the ass it is, it forces you to listen.
And you're spending $40.
Yeah, and you're spending your $40. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I have a vinyl collection over there, and it. I don't buy everything on vinyl, but I buy some, you know, certain things on vinyl. Sure. But yeah, it's a. It does make you appreciate it a little bit more from that perspective, but I just like the way it sounds. It sounds to me, it sounds a lot better than.
I think so too. It looks. I like holding the thing, you know.
Others would argue that's not true.
I think it's definitely got a warmer sound. I think it's got a warmer sound. I think CD's got more clarity. I think the vinyl has a warmer sound. And you know what? I don't know. It could be just in my head, but when I listen to vinyl stuff, I'm hearing shit I never heard before. I'm like, wait, what's that? You know, like, but I don't know if it's just, you know, me overthinking and being like, oh yeah, I think I hear more stuff now because I'm listening to that, you know.
Yeah.
But they both have their pros.
Too lazy to collect vinyl.
Pain in the ass. Yeah.
I apparently am not too lazy.
He's got more money than he's got sense.
There you go.
Not now.
That's because it's all in your vinyl collection.
It's all in the vinyl collection, yeah.
All right, well, let's swing back to your band. How did you guys come up with the band name?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was just me, just by myself. And, you know, I'm a drummer, but I do play guitar and, you know, I play a little bit of bass, enough to write a song. So, you know, I was just writing stuff, and I'd set up this little recording studio in my house during during 2020 when nothing was going on. And I was just going to just get friends email tracks and say, hey, could you sing on this? Could you do a solo on this? Could you play bass? So the first, you know, I was like, what am I going to call it? I don't know, some Iron Dragon or something. So I said, you know, I'm just gonna call it Monte Carlo. Most people will just think it's a car. You know, it's fortunately, I have, you know, it is my real last name, and it's not like Jones or something. Yeah. Or something like that. If it was, I would think of something else. So I just roll with that. And then I got, you know, like I mentioned before, you know, I asked Bert if he could sing on this track of something that we had written years ago. And, you know, instead of asking someone else to sing the second track, since the first one did so well, you know, we decided to do another song and then a third and fourth. And then, you know, Bert was like, yeah, I'll just roll with it, the name, since it's starting to get a little steam. So
yeah,
well, speaking of him, who are all the band members?
Ahmed Smith, guitar. Dan Parcells, guitar. Damian Monte Carlo, drums. Joe Mal, bass. And Albert Lepore, vocals.
Right on.
So your last name is Monte Carlo?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Oh, cool.
Bill obviously was not listening 37 seconds ago.
Well, I know I was. I was like, I didn't realize that.
It just didn't digest.
It's not common. It's a very uncommon last name, but you know, it's I think for, you know, for the rock that we're doing, it, you know, it does conjure up an image. You know, you think of like, mm-hmm. you know, I think of like a 77 Monte Carlo or something souped up, or, you know, so that's one of the graphics we have is like the front end of an old like 77 Monte Carlo. So
one of the girls I had the hots for in high school drove a 77 Monte Carlo. Oh,
yeah. He's gonna tell you that big back seat's not gonna stop.
Oh, yeah.
Those were the days.
You can't make a family in a car nowadays like you could back then.
Yeah.
That was good.
That's true.
Cars are only for transport.
Yeah.
Well, you transported from one vessel to another.
There you go.
Something like that.
Well,
as we digress,
do you guys have any more material coming out besides the Synthetic World EP?
We're in the middle of writing now. So as this one's coming out, we're starting to write for the next one. So what we did was the first one was an EP, I think a 6-song EP called Original Sin. And then a year later, we came out with Super Double Fine, which was 10 songs. And then then the EP this year. So we're hitting it every year so far. This year is Synthetic World, which is 5 songs in an intro. So it's six on there. And we already started writing. So as this one's going to be coming out, we already got probably, I would say, 2 songs maybe band-wise, maybe 12 songs floating around. But, you know, we're still massaging the stuff and working it out. But, I mean, within probably a couple months, I would say, you know, maybe beginning of new year, we'll probably be back in the studio again. I mean, we kind of roll quick. Yeah, we roll pretty quick with that stuff.
And plan also is to, extend the life expectancy of this EP is we want to constantly release videos for each track. So instead of putting it out, here's the EP, and then
forgetting about it, just, yeah, like most bands,
you know,
it'll
be forgotten about, you know, in September. We're going to put the second video out maybe like the end of August, and then a third video out maybe like the beginning of October, and then maybe another one like December. So we're going to try to like at least, you know, you know, keep the life going until January, until we're getting ready to record.
Yeah, I mean, our move's been pretty much put the single out within a month, maybe later, put out a video. Put the single out maybe a month later, put out the video. So you're getting double shelf life out of it.
There you go.
As you're getting tired of one, a new single's coming out, but then the video's coming out for the other one. So it's kind of like, you know, squeezing the juice as much as you could. You know, the audio's okay, started slowing down now. Now we put out the video. Well, that juices up the video and the audio. And then the next one comes out. So that's at least the way we're thinking. I don't know how good it's going to work, but so far so good, you know?
Yeah, we do a lot of pretty much everything ourselves. We have a guy, a buddy of ours, Zach Connect. He did our last video. Thing is he moved up to Ottawa, Canada now. So he does come back to visit his family like 3-4 times a year. So we try to get him to do one video, but in between, Bert does, pretty much all our videos for us. So we keep everything in house, everything. I mean, the graphics, you know, videos, you know, so it's easier that way. We're like a self-sustained band, you know.
Makes sense.
Cool.
Yeah.
Man, and self-managed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We got some help here and there, but yeah, pretty much overall. Overall.
Cool. So when we got on here, we were right before we got on here, we were talking about a variety of things, and you guys talked about having a podcast. So does the whole band participate in the podcast, or is it just you two?
That's us two.
It's just
two. Sometimes we'll have
can't
them
take,
on.
Can't take one more day with the other ones, I guess.
Well, when the pandemic thing started, the same thing. I wanted to start a podcast. Damien thought about doing one, too. I'm like, all right, what do we call it? So anything we have musically, video-wise, and the podcast stuff is under, you know, we call it Dambert Entertainment. So it's both of our names kind of together. So that's the entertainment thing. And that's just so everything's under one umbrella. So if you're looking for mixtapes and tasty cakes, if you're looking for Monte Carlo, you don't have to go to five different sites. It's there. But then the Monte Carlo will have like a maybe like a playlist video thing where you could go on directly YouTube. To that, that on yeah. YouTube. Yeah, it's all YouTube. And yeah, and you know, that you know, like you guys know how podcasts are. You could get 20 hits or you could get, you know, 80, you could get 1,000. You never know. It's you never know. We still can't figure it out. We're like, okay, we got a ton of stuff on this, and we got, you know, for example, we just put out something with Kim Dracula.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about the other thing.
We're almost hitting like 100 on that in a couple of days, which is for us is great. We put out something about Maneskin, which we're like my you know Mike who does the podcast was Angry Mike Day, was like, what about this Maneskin band? They're an Italian band from so and so. We're like, I kind of heard of them. We did an album review on them, and you know the review was, you know, it wasn't bad, it wasn't great, but it was like, you know, slightly better than average. And man, we got like 1,800, you know, views on it, and we were getting crazy. People were sending us like, oh,
crazy Italian got... Maneskin fans.
Couldn't believe we're like, wow,
they were pissed at
they
us.
They were killing us. We were like, oh my god, who are you guys? The you know, and then they hit us with.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Then they hit us with just to be pricks about it. They hit us with, you know, who are you to judge anybody that plays music or anything? I'm like, well, here's our stuff. If you like it, great. If not, I understand.
These were like Italian Maneskin fans, like, because that's where the band is based out of. And we know they were Italian because they said it in some of the comments, and they were saying that, you know, we don't like Italian people. I was like, yo, asshole. All our families came from there.
We're Italian. We're Italian.
What are you talking about? My family came off the boat 100 years ago from Italy. So
I mean, listen, I appreciate you have 15 songs on the album. First of all, it's way too much. It's hard to digest 10. 10's, yep. 10's fine, and 5 of them are in a different language. Great if you want to put out something special. The common fucking idiot don't want to hear all that. You know, it's like,
so we gave it an honest review. I mean, we weren't really that crazy about it, but they weren't having it. So
yeah, we didn't even bash it. It was crazy. We just were like, why, you know, why 15 songs? Like, I don't hear 15 songs from Kiss at once. They tried it with Hot in the Shade. It didn't work, you know, like, come on.
That's true. That record had like 19 songs on it or something.
Yeah. And I like the record. If they cut it 5 songs shorter, it'd been a great record.
Yeah.
You know,
there you go. There's an idea for you. Which songs should we cut out of this record to make it down to?
I made a Spotify playlist. I made my own Hot in the Shade 10 there songs, you go. And it was there a great go. Record. I got rid of The Street Giveth, and I got rid of Cadillac Dreams.
I don't mind either one of those. You can have Boomerang. The worst. You can take Read My Body, Boomerang. They could go. I'm
Read
ready.
My Body was gone.
I was gonna say Read My Body, and. You Love Me to Hate You.
I like that one.
That was
like
a good
song. That's a good song.
That one, I used to like that one when I was younger, but as I've gotten older, I just detune that song. Maybe it won't be so bad.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, they might have to now.
Yeah.
They do now.
They definitely have to.
Yeah.
Or just pre record it.
Yeah.
Or I got an idea. Don't play it because that'd be crazy.
Yeah. And I like, you know, I'm like Dame. I like all eras of Kiss. I like, you know, from the earlier stuff to I'm all right with all.
Oh, yeah. That's me. I mean, I became a fan at 8 or 9 years old the first time I heard Beth. Of course, I can't hardly listen to that song anymore.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I swear that I hate rock and roll all night, but every time it comes on the radio, I'm jamming.
You're like us. Yeah. We're all the same way. Yeah.
You know, but I stuck with Kiss through the Dynasty stuff and the Unmasked and, you know, the makeup coming off and thinking Revenge was the greatest album that they'd ever put out. And the tour
me too.
Fucking tanked, you know, and they're like,
That was my first time seeing them on that tour. And I thought
my first
time
was the Crazy Nights. And I like that tour. Yeah. I feel like
it's a good tour.
Revenge was my second tour to see them.
Yeah. I thought the Revenge tour was, I liked the song selection. I felt the stage, but it was just the timing was just,
Yeah. Now, I would like to have seen the Hot in the Shade tour.
That was great. Yeah, I went to
but I was, great, I was sure. in, I was stationed in Germany when that tour was taking place, and it never made it out of the United States.
That never made
it out of North America. I think there were
some.
That was a great tour too. That show was great.
Oh, I know.
And they brought back so much stuff.
They brought back that old stuff, and they did like a 2.5 hour show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, let's give these people their money's worth.
Yeah. And Paul was probably at the top of his game right about that.
He was pretty darn close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we get that back? when I go in November, will it be back?
Where are you going to see them? Are they playing Columbus?
Indiana. They're playing in Indianapolis.
Okay.
Yeah.
They play them there on the 27th, so it's like the third, like 3 days before the end.
Yeah,
before the end of this. Let's be honest. Before the end of this,
whatever's going on.
Whatever else they got cooking up. But yeah,
Bill's going. I'm going to that same show, and I'm taking my son. I took him when he was. It was 2004. It was just a few days before he turned 8.
Oh wow!
I took him to see. He does remember it because it's the first time he saw titties.
That'll do it.
Can't forget that.
I see those sunny side ups.
Well, they were on the big screen too. So,
yeah, I'll tell you what. Dame opened up for Gene when he did a solo thing. And Ace. Dame played both of those shows.
That's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah, my last band. Yeah, it was pretty cool. We did two shows with Ace and one with Gene. And let me tell you, man, I will not be disappointed if Gene wants to go out and do a solo band. I thought that was terrific.
He just needs to take those fellas with him.
Yeah, please.
That band's ridiculous.
Those guys are the coolest guys. If you ever, they really are. You're talking
to two guys that hung out with Gene in Fort Wayne.
Because
the guys in his band, you know, they'd been on our show. We made good friends with them, and they're like, you guys live in Indiana. Y'all should come up. All right.
They're such a good band.
They are great guys. Yeah.
And it's weird. It's like, you know, you guys, I think we'd agree. Me and Dame talk about this all the time on our podcast. We're like, Gene gets so much flack. Gene was so awesome when I met Gene. Awesome. I met him during Revenge. They were doing some, like thing with the radio station, and they did a pre-party or a listening party in Philadelphia. And they did like a show at like a smaller venue before they came back again. And Gene was the coolest. Took time out. He wasn't like, yeah, nice to meet you. He hung out and bullshitted for a while. It was great. And Dame's got some good stuff too with that. He said Gene was awesome also.
Yeah, he really does make you feel like, you know, like he's not like a total rock star. Hey, how you doing? And he's on his way. Like he will engage in conversation, and he's pretty sincere with it. And, he's really interested in, you know, what people have to say, who's having a conversation with. He's very, very genuine in that sense, you know.
That's the way he was with us, you know, because we did the VIP thing backstage, and there might have been 8 other people there.
Maybe.
And he took at least 10 minutes with each person and talked to them, and that was his focus.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't let anything else distract him. I was extremely impressed with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So was I.
And the fact he wanted to eat cookies. He asked, I don't know how many times he asked us to be going to cookie. I mean,
that's fucking great. Like, that's
great.
Well, he was telling us really bad, like Michael Jackson jokes. And it was like bad dad jokes, man.
The dad jokes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny. Yeah. All right. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Where can our viewers and listeners find you on the internet?
Well, we have a website now, so I guess we're legit. MonteCarloTheBand.com. And you go on there and you'll find all our socials, bio. We have songs on there. But, if you jump on that site, there's a link to the Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Spotify. So that'll take you everywhere.
Okay. Now, is there a link to your podcast on that site, or do you have a different link for that?
Well, on the site, if you click the YouTube link, it will take you to the site where we host the podcast on YouTube. So it'll take you to the Danbert Entertainment page. It'll take you to the playlist for our songs, but from there you can see all the podcast stuff. So
right on.
Cool.
All right. Well, we do appreciate you guys coming on. Hang out for a minute while I take us out of here. Y'all visit agesofrock.com. Check out our past episodes and social media links. And until next time, peace out. Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.